Well, this morning, we're going to be in chapter 21 of the Revelation. We're getting right down to it, aren't we? This week and one more, and we're going to finish up this book. I'll begin by reading it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell in with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came to me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me into the spirit in a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates the names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lie 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city and the reed, with the reed. 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth thereof and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angels. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. Just a second, I see something I needed to do. Get my pen out there. I missed something I needed to mark. Yeah. Yeah. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth is chrysophras, whatever that is, the 11th is jacinth, and the 12th is amherst. And the 12 gates were the 12 pearls, were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. and the gates of it shall be shut, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a whole bunch in this one. Let's go back and see what we can start out with. First thing I want to say is, what is this about? What's this book about?
It's everything that's in me.
Exactly, it's internal. Mm-hmm. We have to take our eyes off of the external and see what is within us, okay? And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Do you really think that's what he's talking about? Mm-hmm. What's he talking about?
New person.
A new mind. Mm-hmm. And a new earth is a new body.
Yeah.
It's not about sky up there and some big ball floating around out in space. It's about a new mind. This is the new man, right? Okay. Because the first heaven and earth were passed away. What are we talking about here? Now, what's that first verse telling you something?
They were changed.
No. Go back a little further. We'll show you something.
The first and second day.
No. No. It's about the new heaven and earth, the new man, after the old man was crucified. This is the crucifixion here. He's showing you the old man is dead. Is that not right?
Your identity's been revealed.
The old man has to die to get the new identity. It's going much deeper than just a new heaven and earth. But the old man died on the cross, didn't he? Adam went to the cross with Christ, right? And that man died and the other one went on.
So is that the old Adamic nature is dead and you're now living in the spiritual
nature? Yeah, that's the ones that have been delivered that we're talking about in this chapter. Okay? And there was no longer what? Sea.
Humanity.
Huh?
Humanity.
Well, another thing about sea is it divides something. A sea divides the two shores. Okay.
Takes the flesh away.
Yeah, it keeps the two people away, but it keeps people at war. Okay, but it's really no more divisions.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
if we talked about this being in, and you said it keeps people at war,
and in minds.
Okay,
it's in the minds.
Actually, in yourself.
Yeah, it's all still speaking within us. But see, as long as you have divisions in your mind that you think with those divisions in your mind, there's always going to be a war. We're not talking external wars. We're talking everything internal, right?
Right.
That's why I said that from the very beginning when I started. Everything is inside. And I, John, saw the holy city. What is that holy city?
The Christ within me.
Yeah. the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of what? The realm of the Spirit. It's not coming out of heaven. There's no heaven up in the sky. It's coming from a higher realm of understanding and living and being, coming to the realm where we could see it. Okay? Prepared as a bride, right? Decorated for her husband. And back in those days when they were writing this stuff, they decorated for a wedding, didn't they? They put all kinds of stuff on for that wedding day. And that's what he was trying to say. This is a major celebration. And I heard a great voice, okay, out of the realm of the Spirit saying, behold, or look, the tabernacle of God is what?
Within.
It should be within.
Within.
It's the word meta, in the midst or within. The tabernacle of God, you could literally say, is man. Know you not that you're the tabernacle of the living God. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay? And he will dwell what? In them.
Yeah, he dwells.
Yeah, he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be not with them, but in them, in the midst of them. It's the same word, meta. And be their God. And when, and literally that last part of that verse, it says, and God himself shall be in the midst of them. And where it says and be, you notice those are italicized words.
I'm sure.
You take them out and look what it says. And God himself shall be in the midst of them, their God. So we said, he's in them and he is their God. See, they're going to recognize him, who he is.
Mm-hmm. He'll exist in them.
He'll exist that way. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let's go back here and look at it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay?
My question is, why are they crying?
No. Mm-mm. No. As long as we're in the flesh, there will be tears because of our emotional status, our condition as being an emotional person.
Oh, woe is me.
There's always something going on to create turmoil in our life.
Is that a little double-minded?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they're crying over the lost endemic nature.
Lost something. You know, if you lost your pen, people cry. If they lose their glass, they cry.
Even that's their thing.
Their attachment is to the worldly things.
They're attached to this, that.
Their identity is hidden in all this stuff around them rather than in the Christ within them. Okay?
And they're crying over the losing the flesh.
Yep. They don't want to give it up. So, and there shall be no more death. What is death? Carnality.
Carnality.
Romans 8:6, the carnal, be carnally minded is death. Right? Okay? Neither sorrow or grief, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, because the former, and that word former is the word protos, where we get our word prototype, or literally the natural, the first thing we see. It's the natural thing, the worldly stuff we can see. Those protos or prototype things are what? Not passed away, but the language actually say left behind. Mm. Now, when it says left behind, it gives me another message.
Yeah.
It's not like saying, I laid it down.
No, I walked away from it.
Yeah. See? I walked away from it. Mm-hmm. I left it behind. It
why
wasn't that I lost it.
Why wouldn't you when you realize everything that you was walking in was death?
It was all lies, you know, so deception. So I walked away from it. That's what it's telling you in the actual language.
So I walked away from carnality.
Sure.
My carnality.
Right. It's only one you can walk away from.
Yeah, I know, but I'll be like...
Yeah. But it's literally inside, you know, it's still not external.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I made a choice in my mind that I'm separating from that. Okay? It's amazing what the language can show you, but you can take this same message, and if you took it to an average church this morning and ministered, how many people you think could understand it? Because they have no foundation in the understanding of this symbolism language, how can they possibly understand it?
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's where
it'd be
God's
like
got
we're speaking another language.
Absolutely. He said we were aliens, and aliens don't look like, talk like, dress like, or act like regular.
If someone was sitting here speaking Chinese or Japanese,
wouldn't have made no difference.
I wouldn't know, have a clue what they're saying.
Nope. Verse 5, he goes on and says, and he that sat upon the throne, okay, said, behold, or literally look, I have made all things new. And he said to me, write, because these words are true and faithful. But let's go back and look. What's that word? He that sat up on the throne. What's the throne of God?
The place of rulership.
Where's that at? Within me, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Where's it at within me?
My mind.
That's exactly right. It's my mind. He's the ruler of my mind, my thought process. And he said, write, because these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it's done. When I just said it's done, I felt cold chills.
Oh, it is finished.
Do you know what that is? That was the crucifixion again.
Yeah.
What did he say on the cross? It's finished. Same thing. Same.
It's your crucifixion.
That's right. I have identified with the crucifixion in my own mind. I have saw this in me. I've agreed with this. I died in him, like I said in Romans 6. Okay? And he said to me, it's done. It's finished. Same as John 19:30, where he was actually literally crucified. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to him that is athirst from out of, it's the word ek, from out of the fountain of the water of life freely, or as a gift. Okay? The root word is doria, which means gift. So he said, if you're thirsty, remember the girl that Jesus dealt with at the well, the woman at the well? She said, he asked her for a drink. And he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask of me, and I would give you a drink that you would never thirst again.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about here, the same thing. If you realize that he has the water that quenches all thirst, and you're never, once you drink it, you're in it. You know?
Where's that at?
Woman at the well, John chapter 2. No, that's wedding.
4, isn't it?
4, maybe. 4. John 4. That's in John, yeah.
I can remember the place where it's at.
Yeah.
But you're the woman and the well's in you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is moving the stones off of the well, digging it out so you can drink from it.
So you're no longer married to all those emotional things like she was married to.
All
the five senses.
The senses, absolutely. That's the way the story all goes together. And he that overcomes... And literally, this word overcome is not overcome. Like you had a big contest and you were fighting somebody and one wins and one loses. That's not what it's about. The word is actually in the language subdues. He that subdues. Now, let's go all the way back to Genesis 2. And there was someone told to subdue the earth. In Genesis 2:28. He said, go forth, you know, multiply and subdue the earth. What are we supposed to do? That was the same message being preached back there in Genesis that's being preached right now in Revelation.
That's just one message.
Yeah. But isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It, the same message, just a little bit tweaks it so people don't see it. And he said, I'm going to speak in parables to the people that the multitudes.
Well, they can't see it because they don't read the book of Revelation.
They read Revelations.
They read Revelations.
They're not allowed.
Not allowed to. That's what the preachers tell them. Because the preachers don't know the answer either.
Yeah. They think it's all outside.
But he that subdues, here, it says, he that subdues shall inherit what?
All.
But not all things.
Yeah,
these things.
It's pos.
Well, no, it's not. Pos isn't there.
It is.
And now, what things is he talking about? Everything in the first 6 verses. All these things that he was talking about. The water of life and all these other things that he's talking about in the first 6 verses. That's what he's talking about. He said these things. It's in the context of where he's at. When he's in that conversation saying those things, he said, he that subdues shall inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's not the first time he said that, was it?
That son right there, yeah. That's called weos.
It is weos.
I don't have my Bible.
That's all right. You know it is already.
Yeah, I've studied it. Yeah. But I just, you know, watch my mind.
My back was cold.
So
but the fearful, verse 8, but the fearful, and that's the timid and the faithless. That's what it actually says in the language. Timid and faithless. Mm-hmm. And the unbelieving and the abominable, and that's detestables, and the murderers and the whoremongers. You know what that really says?
It's in the sexually immoral.
Well, no. The whoremongers in the language says soul chasers. Soulish chasing. That would be like church chasing, wouldn't it?
Or just living in the flesh.
How many souls they save today?
None.
Well, if you're soul chasing, you could almost say that's like you're living and going ahead and living in the flesh.
Absolutely.
It's chased after fleshly things.
Mm. Absolutely.
You don't want that reality.
It's not chasing after saving souls.
No.
That's why. It's
and sorcerers. What's the sorcerers mean?
It's the ones that lie to you inside.
Well, the manipulators of the human mind. See, it's not about... The sorcerer is not about like the TV has taken your mind and these movies and made you think like witchcraft and stuff like that. But actually mind-altering stuff is witchcraft. That's where we get our word pharmacy from pharmakia, from drugs, which witchcraft and all that's tied in the same thought.
Yeah, so. The natural and the pharmacy, it kind of throws you off. You know, when you take a bunch of drugs,
right? Your mind is messed with.
Yeah.
And idolaters. And the idolater speaks of anyone, even Christians, participating in any way in the worship of the heathen. Okay? And it attends... attends to their feast. You know, a lot of people say, well, we have the feast of, what is it, that one at Halloween? They got All Hallows Eve or all that stuff. You know, people, they don't realize that when they're agreeing with what is said in these things, they say, oh, it don't mean anything. But it's supplying it in your mind. Mm-hmm. Every word you've ever heard in your life, where is it? Yeah. And eventually it'll come into play. If you don't get it lined out straight, it will get you going the wrong direction.
It'll influence you
somewhere
to fleshly thinking. You know, it'll throw you off the mark.
That's why the book says we're snared by the words of our mouth.
Yep. Where does those words start at? Right in your mind, in your thought processes.
So if you get something in there, you know, ain't right, it's going to mess you up somewhere. Okay.
And all liars
shall have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The word brimstone here is theon, and it comes from the word theos, which is God. So this fire and brimstone is God fire. It's not a bad fire. It's not a consuming fire. It's not a destroying fire, but it's a perfecting and purifying and cleansing fire. Now, think about it for a second. If the first fruit, we are sons, have been purified and stepped into the realm of the tabernacles, stepped into perfection in this realm, what effect would the lake of fire have on them?
None.
But who needs the lake of fire?
The ones that are not purified.
They have to go through it. That's the only way they're going. It's not punishment. It's not torment. It's a purification process. God don't punish anybody. Never did punish anybody. That's just their concept of it. Their way of understanding with their understanding.
It's like whenever it burns and it burns away all that gunk, you're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah. You're cleaned up then. So.
Yeah. Look how pretty that is.
I've become a true person now. I know who I am.
Mm-hmm. So well, the ones that's already been purified can...
They're going to be helping.
They're agreeing with, that's that purification.
And the way the church says
it's not hurting them at all.
The way the church says it, the ones that are purified now, they'll be strapping everybody to those big spits and roasting them over the fire for eternity. I've heard people tell
them,
brother.
It might make some of them to give up their old...
Sad.
It's a sad way of thinking about it. To think that a God of love could do that. What could your children do that would ever make you...
No.
I mean, even if you got mad enough to kill one of them, at least that would be mercy compared to torment for eternity, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so ridiculous.
Even if you did that and you just got away, it just take you a certain amount of time to get cooled down.
Sure.
I mean, but get wrapped up in the flesh, and that's when you start abusing.
Yep. And there came or appeared to me one of the seven, and see, it came to me, but literally appeared, because it's in your mind anyway. There appeared to me one of the seven angels or messengers, which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues or calamities, and talked, and the word there is Mita. In the midst of me. See, it's all internal.
That's the only, you only hear the messenger inside.
The one outside should have no effect on you.
Yeah, it's
just like I've told for years, as I speak, it's not what I say, but what do you hear from the spirit within you? Is the spirit saying yay or nay?
Is it resonating? And
if it's not resonating in you, don't worry about it.
Is it ringing true? It is. Yeah. Even if you don't understand it yet, is it there's something there that tells you?
If you're supposed to hear it, you'll hang on to it. Mm-hmm. It'll come back when it's time. Which had the seven vials of the last seven plagues,
calamities,
and talked in the midst of me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show you the true bride. I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, did he do that or not? He said, "If you come here, I'll show you the Lamb's bride, the Lamb, the bride's wife." Mm-hmm. What do you think he showed him?
Oneness.
Put a mirror up in front of you. That's all you did. Because you're the Lamb's bride. See what I mean? It's not male or female. This is a spiritual stuff. So he just lets you see who you are. Doesn't that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. I'm one with him. He is one with me.
There you go. And he already prayed. He asked his Father to make us one with him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So he's going to show us what's going on. Guess what? He just showed you yourself.
So he lets you see your oneness with him.
Absolutely. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain. What mountain would that be? The highest mountain?
Moriah.
Mount Zion.
Or
Moriah's too.
Yeah,
Zion.
Yeah.
Zion.
Yeah,
to the highest part of your mind that you forgot
to the very
about.
Highest part up here. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the realm of the spirit from God, because God dwells in the realm of the spirit. People say, "Well, God dwells in me." Yeah, but what words he dwell in you? In your ear, or your little finger, or your big toe, or he don't do that. See, he's not dwelling in our flesh. He dwells in our spirit, which is within our flesh, inside of us. So you might say we're three levels there. Okay.
It'll be my new mindset.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Having the glory of God, see, he showed me that city, the Holy Jerusalem, which is the bride, descending out of the spirit realm of the spirit from God, having the glory of God. Well, if you have the glory of God, what would you think you would be? Would you be one with him?
Mm-hmm.
And her light, the bride, he's telling you that that city is her, the bride. And her light, and didn't Jesus say this in John 8:12, "I am the light," right?
That lights every man.
Yep. And he says, another word for it is, "I'm the illuminator."
Well,
I'm the one who illuminates. It was in John, he said, "I illuminate every man that comes into the world." Not some of them, but all of them. Every one of them.
That's Christ in you.
Yep. Was likened. Yeah, of course I said. Her light was likened to a stone. Mm-hmm. And it's in Isaiah, it's in Ephesians, and it's in 1 Peter. That stone. And Christ is that stone. He was that rock that followed him through the desert in Corinthians. It talked about from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's that nature of Christ. Where am I at? Left. Okay. A stone most precious, even likened to a jasper stone or a royal stone. That's a covenant, okay? Covenant stone. Kind of like a rainbow. What color is a rainbow?
All of them.
Seven of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, G, Biff.
Yeah.
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Yeah. So that's the royal stone is the covenant stone, which is Christ. Clear as a crystal. Why would they keep referring to him clear as a crystal?
Because you can see through it.
Well, he's there. He is. He's transparent. Mm-hmm. He's hiding nothing. Okay? Like Paul told us, he said, "I have not shunned to declare the whole gospel of God to you." Didn't hide anything. I didn't hold anything back. Just because they didn't understand it didn't mean he didn't show it to them, did it?
No, they just didn't get it.
They just didn't get it. And he said, verse 12, and had a great wall high and had 12 gates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when them 12 gates, 12 entrances, which compares to the 12 tribes of Israel in Genesis 49, and at the 12 gates, 12 messengers, and the names or the natures and authority written thereupon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, or his alias was Jacob, right?
Not children there, it's that we also.
I can go back and see.
Or 12.
Yeah.
I think it is.
The word children, I didn't have it marked out. So
I think it is, but I don't have my thing to check.
Okay. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates, which is obvious. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which was like the 12 tribes. But only apostles, those changed from the Old Testament to the New, the tribes to the apostles, you know. But even the apostles changed. There was 12, remember Judas was done away with, and then Matthias came into play, and then he just disappeared. Because he was chosen by who?
Man.
By man. And then Paul, who was called an apostle born out of season. But he came in. So he was the one chosen of God to do it. Because man always gets in a hurry. They got regulations and rules and protocols.
Is that due to in their temple?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what took care of that. And he talked in the midst of me, okay? And he that talked in the midst of me had a golden reed. Golden reed. What do you think that is?
Is that God's measuring stick?
And who is that? The Christ.
Is that Christ in us?
It's Christ in us is the measuring stick.
Let me write that down.
Well, gold is the nature of God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And he's the one that everything's measured to. And he's in the midst of us, isn't he? To measure, or to measure up to, okay, to measure up to the city, which was the bride, the holy city, New Jerusalem, and the gates, or the entrances thereof, and the wall, or the protection and security thereof. See, he is everything to that bride, right? The man is the protector, by the analogy, he's the protector of the family, correct?
Mm-hmm. Christ is everything to them.
He's everything to his bride. And the city lies 4 square. Literally, it just says square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city, or compared the bride, not the city, but the bride, to the reed, the Christ. And the bride should compare to the reed, which was Christ.
Yeah, okay? Not to man.
Yeah, not to man's image, but to God. 12,000. 12 is the government of God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't going to break the rest of that. That's a long time. Go ahead. That note's still there. But it says the length and the breadth and the height are equal. So tell me what that is, the length, the breadth, and the height. Now, they just said the city is 4 square or square.
It's a square.
Uh-huh. But length, breadth, and height changes it.
That's their whole area.
It's a cube.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It's not flat.
Yeah.
It has a dimension to another dimension to it. It's not one-dimensional. The city is many, is multiple dimensions, length, breadth, and height. So it's a cube. Correct?
Yeah.
And they're all equal. And he measured the wall, the protection thereof, right? 144 cubits. Just like the 144,000 that were attached to him that were not defiled by women, by the church system of man. According to the measure of a man. Do you know what the measure of a man was? From the elbow to the tip of his index finger. That was a cubit from here to here. 144, that's how tall the wall was. If you want to look at the natural part of it.
You know what's neat? I was looking at the bottom of my, it's a study Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that cubit represented like the ark, mm-hmm. which would have been the presence.
The ark was the Christ.
Mm-hmm. So
it carried, well, actually the ark wasn't Christ. The ark was man. It was wood. Okay, it was humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the covenant was inside of it.
I wasn't saying that the ark was...
Well, you talk with me, which ark are we talking about? Because there's two arks.
The ark that had the reed in it. Isn't that the box where Aaron had?
That was the Old Testament ark. Yeah, the ark of the covenant. Mm-hmm. No, I thought you were talking about the boat.
No.
Okay. Same, but still telling the same story. Okay. Just had to get on the same.
I was surprised that they had it as a study note.
Okay. Just had to get on the same page.
Some of the study notes, it
very destructive,
and some of them don't.
Some of them, yeah, it's way out of left field.
Okay, according to the measure of man, which is the angels, the messengers, right? Which is the messengers?
Instead of that, it's with.
Yeah. And the building of the wall of it, and that word building is not building, it's the foundation building material of the wall is that of these things it's listed now. So it's the foundational material, building material is what it should say. Was of jasper, which is a royal stone, you know, which is Christ. And didn't it say in Corinthians, no other foundation can be laid other than the foundation which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Okay. And the city, and that is, the city is not, see, it just like it talks about the overcomers in the New Testament, it's a body of Christ. It's many-membered body of Christ. So what do you think this is? This city. It's some many overcomers as one. Doesn't mean we're in one big blob, but it means we all have the same mind, that mind of Christ, and we're going in the same direction. Does that make sense? Because it's internal anyway.
Many members in one mindset.
One mindset, the mind of Christ. And how many times are we told to put on the mind of Christ? And that's what the church world don't even talk about. I mean, they don't even... They were too worried about rock climbing and taking trips and doing things. But that's all stuff that can be done. But it has nothing to do with helping. You remember what he said in Ephesians? Let me go there. I want to read something to you. Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4.
Yeah. Come on, dummy.
Hey.
That was me. I was talking to the dummy in me. The dummy, the flesh man.
Yeah.
I was.
What a verse.
Huh?
What a verse.
And he gave what?
Where are you at?
Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then one more verse says it real well, that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Speaking in love, the truth. That's what it's all about. They don't tell you this stuff in these churches. They don't tell you, we want you to grow up. They're afraid you'll grow up and leave and they won't get your money. That's not what it's about. It's about growing up you. See, I can't help nobody till I grow up. I can't be a baby and help nobody. I have to grow up myself and have some insight into what God's trying to teach, what He's showing us. If I don't grow up and all I've got's carnality, hell, you don't need no more carnality than you got, do you?
No, we want to get rid of us.
Why would me giving you more carnality do you any good?
It would keep you.
It'd just keep you messed up. I mean, just more mess on top of you. That's what I'm trying to say. That the church don't have a clue. The man's church realm has no clue what the purpose is. And you might have a few of them say, "Well, yeah, we're going to grow up in Christ." But what are they doing to get you there? Patting you on the back ain't saying you did good this week. You put enough money in.
Let's not get in a hurry now.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Don't go in a hurry. You know, just take your time. We don't want you to run away just yet. You know, they don't want you to run away ever. See? The greatest thing, even in the natural, talk to anybody who's truly a teacher. What's the greatest desire in their heart?
To grow up beyond where they're at.
A student that you have to teach can grow beyond where you are at. That's the greatest gift they could ever have. It shows you've done your job. See? I tell people all the time, if I can just get you to think, my job's done. Man, I've accomplished something if I can get you to think. Think, and you start thinking for yourself. Man, you're on your way. I can just get out of the way. I'm here to help you if you ever need it, but you're on your way. See?
I like to picture that, you know, like a baby leader, teacher, like a Nephios or Rephos or even Padion. Picture them, that little cartoon thing at Rugrats, Angelica on there to kind of tell everybody what to do. And her stuff is like, man, that's a big monster.
She's got a diaper about ready to explode and she's telling everybody to get cleaned up.
She's barely out of diaper, but she's trying to tell the ones in the diaper, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. When I first started going to what they call church,
same thing.
People said, oh man, you got it here. Go preach. Wow, you might as well give me a machine gun and a crowd of people. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. You have to learn something before you. Oh yeah, and that's exactly what it was. But you're in the natural state. How can you defeat that? You can't. Until God started dealing with me, I couldn't defeat that thing. So I had to. I was concerned about that. You know, I was great. You know, but,
puffing you up and make you feel good,
and that keeps you right in the system. The harlots after what?
The precious souls.
And the foundations of the wall, the foundation material, fall was all manner of precious stones. And in 1 Peter 2:5 talked about being the precious stones, built one upon another. Remember that? The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth was emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, the sixth was that. I'm not going to read the rest of that all the way down because it's just repetitive.
What are all those stones?
That's the 12 tribes.
12 tribes.
Didn't they used to be on the ephod?
Yep, the 12 stones was on the ephod, but it was all speaking about those 12 tribes.
Is that like the 12 tribes where each one's representative of an area of your walk in Christ?
Sure it is.
And maturity.
Sure it is. It's part of your foundation. And it said the 12 gates were the 12 pearls, which was the 12 apostles, the pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, each individual one, was a pearl. and the street of the city. There is no street. The word is square, okay? The square or the center of the city, and the city is the spiritual Jerusalem, was pure gold. What is gold?
Nature of God.
So the center of the city, the new Jerusalem, the center of the city, which is the spiritual overcomers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the center of all this is what?
Midst of me.
Our center, your center, my center, our center is, the overcomer's center is God. Pure gold. Nothing in there but God. Okay? And it, as it were, transparent glass. That means you can see that everything being done is a godly nature. There's no skinning about it. There's no shystering going on. There's no competition going on.
It's just clear.
It's clear that there's one thing going on, and it belongs. Everything belongs to God. And then he says in 22, John says, "I saw no temple in it. No temple to worship." Well, I mean, this just breaks people's hearts because there's no temple to go worship in. Know ye not that you're the temple?
Is that a man-made? Man-made.
Yeah. The word's naos. Okay, Hieron Hieron's supposed to be a literal temple, but it says naos here. There's no temple in it. Period. And I can't state on what you're asking right now. I can't answer because
the
two words right now, I can't separate
them. That's just a question, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. A natural question.
My mind's stuck on that, and I don't want to make a statement and make it incorrect.
Okay.
For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple, and that's naos, so it's got to be the spiritual side, okay? It's got to be. Because if the Lamb and the Lord God are the temple in it, and it's the same word naos there in temple, is it a temple in the first part of the paragraph? I mean, of the verse, okay?
But it's pointing at different. Right. There's no
temple. There's no temple, period. But still, he said the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple, using the same word, so it's got to be.
That's the focus. God is the focus.
God is the whole focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not of it, but it's in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The last two words is in it, mm-hmm. not
that's what
of it.
New King James says.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way it should be. In verse 23, it goes on and says, "And the city," that's the bride, the many-membered body of Christ, "had no need of the sun, neither of the moon," talking about the natural ones, "to shine in it, because the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." The Lamb is what? The Christ. The many-membered body of Christ. So remember where the scripture says, "Let your light shine"?
Yeah.
And that's real. There's a light inside of us that we need to let shine through. And when we become transparent, like we were just talking about, guess what will happen with your light?
It gets brighter.
It gets seen. You can see it now. You've got the dust kicked off of it. You've got the flesh kicked off.
Yeah, but
now everybody can see your light.
Yeah, and they don't like it shining on them.
I know. They have to cover their eyes.
Dim your light.
Put your dimmers on.
Is that thereof? Is that in there?
Where are you talking about?
At the end of 23.
No. It's light. It could be of it, but it's not. It, thereof is okay.
Yeah,
sometimes it should, but it don't have to be there. It's not there.
Okay. I just don't have my thing to check, but I can check real quick.
Okay, it's all right. "And the nations of them which are saved." Gosh, I hate those words.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're translated wrong. "And the minds," the nations, the imagination, the image of nations, "of them which are delivered shall not walk, but live,"
mm-hmm.
"not in, but through the light of it." Now let me read it the way it should be. "And the minds of them which are delivered shall live through the light of it," the light of God. His life is our subsistence. Everything that we need of it is from Him, through Him.
No more illusions.
Nope. Transparent.
Live through God, Him, through everything.
And the kings of the earth, wonder who that is. Dust and sand. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it, to the city, which is the bride of Christ, which is the first fruit bodies of Christ, the body of Christ. It's all these symbols is in here. It's so confusing to the minds that don't understand the symbolism. But it's okay. It's still there.
The glory of it is that come through. God brings you through it. No matter how shaken and stirred it becomes, when He brings you through it, that's glorious. Right?
Yep. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, because there shall be no night there. No what?
No darkness.
No ignorance. That's right. Too. No darkness of the mind. Your mind will be open to everything God's
in. In other words, you're lit.
Hey! There you go. And therein shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither, and cross out that word whatsoever, neither works abominations or idolatry, neither works idolatry, or a lie, that word maketh there needs to go too, a lie or lies, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only, see, the word but should be only. Let me do it again. And there shall no wise enter into it that defiles, neither works of idolatry or lies, only they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The book of the Lamb's life. Now, in my book, I did something. Okay, I drew an arrow between that verse and chapter 22. Because it's hooked together. You can't separate it. I mean, I know they put it in for study purposes. They broke it down in verses and chapters and everything. Mm-hmm. But these two goes right on in the context. And I'm not going to do it, but he says, and he showed me a pure river. See, goes right into it. The word and is what's called a connecting what?
Conjunction.
A connecting conjunction. That means they're hooked together. You wouldn't start it out with a connecting conjunction if it wasn't connected to something.
It can't be separated, just like the fruit of the Spirit's one. It's all connected.
It's all one. Okay? So what this book is, I mean, it's a wonderful book, and so many people are scared to death of it because of what somebody misinterprets and tells them. It's about demons and devils and punishment.
Well, if you just read it, that's what you'd see.
And if you didn't understand anything.
Yeah, and thinking outside, outside of us, out there, there's a big bad monster.
There's monsters going to get us.
Horns and eyeballs.
And lots of times the flesh don't want those monsters.
That's where they got the idea for them games.
It's a good movie.
Exactly.
That's where they got them, really.
And it draws you in.
We got Ninja, we was laughing.